To have my friends from the Boonesboro Way up here sitting on the front row, setting an example for all of us tonight. And I believe if you'd come out on a Monday night, you want to move forward with God. How many want to move forward in your Christian life? Lift your hands out there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a blessing tonight. How many like to be a blessing to others? Hey, how many like to be cooperative? Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Just stand to your feet for a moment if you would. And if you, it would serve our purposes tonight, if those of you that I have need binoculars to see, if those of you in the back section could move forward into these two sections, you would be a blessing to me. It would serve our service tonight. Would you grab your Bible? Would you consider that? Debbie, show them how to do this. Walk on down here. Yeah. Look at this. Watch. Look at this right here. If you would help us tonight and just move forward, it would help us in our service, and you'll see why in a few moments tonight. There's no poison down here. I always like to sit toward the front of the church because I get distracted, and I like to be where I get spit upon. I like the fire. Thank you all for being cooperative, and I appreciate that very, very much. What a blessing you are this evening. Did anybody not get a 3x5 card? Lift your hand if you did not get a 3x5 card. Just got one right over here. Anybody else? Got a couple right here. A few people right here. Everybody needs a little card. You need something to write with. If you don't have a writing utensil, the ushers should have some. Or some lady around you has a large purse that needs to be cleaned out desperately. So just get a writing utensil, this little card. We're going to use this later tonight. All right? All right. Thank you so much. You can be seated. A couple of things for you this evening. Out on the table, my family time with God. Family devotions for every day of the year. There's four devotionals out there. Daily devotionals. And this is one of them. My family time with God. Then Debbie and I, we do this. We use this. Debbie, you didn't move forward. One seat. Let's bow for prayer right now. Let's bow. Thank you for doing that. But Debbie and I, we use this just about every day of our lives. We read this together, have a prayer time, and then we started something else, a gratitude journal. And we write down things we're thankful for each and every day. So little tools here to help you in your Christian walk, your daily walk with God. All right. Now tonight, what do you think is the greatest deception possible on earth? What can be the greatest possible deception? Some would say, well, it's satanic deception. He's called a deceiver. And he deceives people, so he must have the greatest influence of deception. You take a Muslim terrorist who will kill as many people as possible in the hope of having 72 Vestal Virgins waiting on the other side. A tremendous satanic deception, but I don't believe that's the greatest deception. Someone say, well, the greatest deception without question is sinful deception. Because the Bible talks about being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I know a man that left his wife, went off, took up with another woman. Pastor went to try to call him to repentance. And he said, well, Pastor, I have no feelings for my wife and family, so I think it's okay for me to take up with this other woman. He was hardened. He was deceived. Tremendous sinful deception. But I don't think that's the greatest deception. Some would say, well, the greatest deception without question is societal deception. Societal deception. The Bible says, except the days should be shortened, the whole, the very elect would be deceived. And we're living in days of massive deception. Remember when Neville Chamberlain went to Germany, came home with a worthless piece of paper stating that the Nazis would not invade any other countries, and England bought it, and they were deceived. Tremendous societal deception. You know, we're living in times where our nation is committing moral, economic, and judicial suicide and tremendous deception. But I don't think societal deception is the greatest deception. You say, well, what do you think the greatest deception is? I believe the greatest deception is not societal, it's not sinful, not even satanic, but the greatest possible deception is self-deception. Look at our verse on the screen tonight, James chapter 1. In fact, you can just take your Bible. We're going to be looking at it tonight. But read this out loud, real loud, and with me if you would. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Read that one more time. Be ye doers of the word. Ten warnings in the New Testament about deception. If deception was not a, deception is not just a possibility, it's a probability. Or we wouldn't have 10 statements, be not deceived. And the Bible says here, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if all you do is hear and don't do anything about it, you deceive yourself. Now, this is not societal, sinful, or satanic. This is self-deception. And the Bible says that in Jeremiah, that our old heart, not our new heart, not our new self, I'll point that out, but our old heart is deceitful above all things. And I want to give you a sober proposition tonight. Your heart is capable of deceiving you. My heart is capable of deceiving me. Alexander McLaren said, the worse a man is, the less he knows it. The worse a man is, the less he knows it. And you know, when it comes to the Bible, be doers of the word of God is to be apprehended, it's to be appropriated, and to be acted upon. Maybe you've seen on television, PBS, those programs about wine tasting. I know you wouldn't do it yourself, but maybe you've watched this. And they got these giant goblets, you know, and they pour the wine over in there, and the wine taster will come out and swirl it around and give a little sniff, then take a little sip and just kind of work it around in the mouth and then spit it back out. It's called a wine taster. You know, there was a Scottish preacher who said this. He made this comment. He said, we have many sermon tasters who have never tasted of the grace of God. And I want to say something to you, that it's possible to be hearing the word on radio, on podcast, on services in a church, to be hearers of the word, but if we're not doing anything about what we're hearing, we are in self-deception. You know, my generation, and some of your generation, they would not tolerate for a moment doctrinal heresy. But I'm telling you, a lot of people are perfectly content to hear a message and do nothing about it. And the Bible says, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. A lot of churches are set up for the uncommitted. I was in a church one time in Oklahoma. They were having all-member Sunday. All-member Sunday. I said to the pastor, what is this about? He said, we're inviting all our church members to attend services. When you need a special service to get the church member, to get the church members to come to church, how many think there's something wrong with this picture right here? Be doers of the word. Now, there are three components regarding the preached word I want to talk about tonight. First of all is instruction. Instruction. Say that word, instruction. You know, churches that are all word, they dry up. Churches that are all spirit, they blow up. But churches that have the word and the spirit, they grow up. Now, instruction is absolutely important. I've been listening to Pastor Nathan. He's got a bang on message Sunday morning. You need to be here. We're having all member Sunday right here Sunday morning. You come on out Sunday morning. It's going to be a great message. Now, you know, the goal of a cerebral ministry is compliance, just mental assent. But what you hear in the church house needs to be practiced in your house. What you hear from in the holy place needs to be lived out in the marketplace. How many know there's more to church than getting warm bodies to show up once or twice a week? There's more to it than this. Now, we have an epidemic of defective consecration. I have no hesitancy saying this. An epidemic of defective consecration. They tell us the majority of Christians never lead a soul to Christ their whole life. I got news. If you don't try, you're not going to do it. An epidemic of defective consecration. They say only 10% of professing Christians have personal devotions. I can't hardly believe this. Only a small number of heads of households will have family worship. Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of... How many churches do you know that are houses of prayer? an epidemic. Now, why the defective consecration? Well, you know, inbreeding is when kin people marry one another. And when that happens, inbreeding produces freaks of nature. Do you realize that spiritual inbreeding produces freaks of grace? Emphasizing one thing, neglecting every other thing. Every group has their hobby horses. Every group is good at something. But, you know, the trick here is to be doers of the entire word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Now, the Jews went ballistic when Jesus showed up and the gospel was offered to the Gentiles because it was outside of their box. They missed the biggest thing that ever happened in history because it was outside of their religious culture. Can I just say something to you? They were so spiritually ingrown that Jesus didn't come on their terms. He wasn't the Messiah they thought, and they could care less about the real Messiah. They wanted their version of Messiah. The people who carried the biggest Bibles are the ones that killed Jesus. The demons recognized Jesus, but the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't even recognize that he was the Son of God. And you know something tonight? We have to be open to the grace of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. I say again, most people read the Bible to support what they already believe. Rather than learn new truth, we just want to have it rehashed. One man said most people are stamped by the time they're 30. What it is by then is what they're always going to be. Can I tell you something? I believe we need a fresh touch of grace periodically, consistently, or regularly. And rather than referring to our conversion 40 years ago, we ought to have something fresh God's done in our heart in the last couple of weeks. Can I get a witness on that right there? Now, listen, I go to some churches where everybody knows what the preacher's going to say before he says it because he's already said it about a million times. And the same cliches, mantras, no hunger to learn, only to have pet doctrines reinforced. Let me just ask you something this evening. Has our knowledge outdistanced our obedience? Is it possible? Our knowledge has outdistanced our obedience. There was a young book salesman assigned to a rural area, and he saw this farmer sitting up on the porch rocking away. And he ran up to him with the zeal of a newly trained salesman, and he said, "Sir, I have a book right here. I have a book right here that will teach you how to farm 10 times better than what you're doing right now." Man, he put it right on him, gave his sales pitch, and the farmer kept on rocking. And finally, the farmer stopped rocking, looked at the young guy and said, "Son, I don't need your book." He said, "I already know how to farm 10 times better than what I'm doing right now." And you know tonight, we don't need another how-to sermon because most of us, we know more than we're doing anything about. But the Bible says, be doers of the, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Knowing what to do is important, but it's not the whole story. Notice second, not only is there instruction, there's got to be revelation. There's got to be revelation. There's a divine dimension to the Christian life. It says in Ephesians that Paul prayed that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's got to be enlightenment, illumination. And when you open your Bible, you need to ask God to open your heart. It's the speaking voice of God that may make the difference in our Christian lives. Now, look over in James chapter 1, verse 23. Just a couple of verses here. James chapter 1, look at this context. Verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But look in verse 23. Look at this right here. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You know, I woke up this morning and I went into the rear bathroom in our trailer, and I looked in the mirror. You know what I discovered? I need to make some adjustments here. So I got a shower. I wash my hair. I comb my hair. And the Bible says, if anybody is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Now look in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Have you noticed that people today don't pay too much attention often as to how they appear to other people? Have you noticed this? Pajamas at 7-Eleven. Have you noticed stuff like this? I was in Champaign, Illinois one time, and it was Sunday afternoon. I was in the trailer, had on a white shirt, had on dark socks, had on gym shorts. And I said to my son, Stephen, I said, hey Stephen, let's go to Walmart. Had on a necktie and gym shorts. Slipped on my fleece, got out at Walmart, and my son walked 40 feet behind me. I don't know why. I don't know. What a coward, what a fear of man. And how many know the older you get, comfort trumps appearance? Say amen right there. Feeling good's better than looking good. Sometimes it's just the way it is. Now look at what it says right here. Here's a guy. He looks at himself in the mirror. Then he goes his way and forgets what he looks like. Look, but verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but say this out loud, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know why we got to act on the word of God quickly? Because we have short memories. I'm telling you, I walk over to the trailer and forget what I said 10 minutes ago. Be doers of the word. Hop to it is what he's saying here. Act quickly. But and there's more to preaching than instruction. We've never been better informed and less inspired, I believe. Now, I believe a lot of churches, a lot of Christian churches, are a little different from Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons in this regard. Everything's in the head, but no fire in the heart. Heard about a circus over in China. People had brought children, grandchildren to the circus. They had trained a bear to ride a bicycle and trained a monkey to ride a bicycle. So they had a circular track under the big tent, and the monkey was just tooling around on his bicycle, and the bear was right behind him, just riding around the track on the bicycle, quite fascinating, when all of a sudden the monkey fell off his bicycle. The bear ran over the monkey's bicycle, fell off his bicycle, and the bear lunged and took the monkey's head right in his mouth. The people were stunned. The trainers ran out, grabbed the rear legs of the monkey, and tried to get the monkey's head out of the bear's mouth. In the process, decapitated the monkey, not what you take your children and grandchildren to the circus to see. And you know what? They trained a bear and a monkey to ride a bicycle. Did you know you can train people to look religious? Do you know you can train people to act religious? But listen, there's more to Christianity than learned behavior. There's more to it than external appearance. Listen, there's got to be some animation. It's the filling of the Spirit. It's the empowerment. Where there's no revelation, there's no revolution. You know why our culture is going to hell? Because of the lack of the power of God in most churches. I'm just telling you, we ought to be seeing hundreds of people born again. And you're going to have the power of God to do that. It's not going to be intellectual wisdom that does it. It's not going to be a theological system that turns the key. It's going to be the power of God working in the hearts of us, his people. And you know something tonight? When I got into conservative Christianity, I come out of a liberal church. You know what they told us back in those days? Come, sit, listen, agree, support. That's pretty much what they told us. Come, sit, listen, agree, support. You know what everybody did? Came, sat, listened, agreed, support. I mean, though, there's more to Christianity than checking off some external blocks. Oh, I'm just here to tell you that if you don't have illumination, all you got is mental doctrines, facts and figures. It's either mechanical or it's entertainment. And it's important to believe correctly. It's important to be dependable. It's important to give the work of God. But if we don't tangibly minister to other people, are we really, really walking with God? Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, look, you've not really learned the word of God until you live the word of God. Be doers of the word. That's what he says right here. Now, it says in Ephesians, having our eyes of understanding opened. Revelation. The psalmist said, quicken me, enliven me, and I will obey your commandment. Can I ask you tonight, when was the last time God quickened the word of God to your heart? In terms of doing something about it. Not just learning something new, but actually doing something about it. When's the last time God gave you an assignment? Oh, dear people, God's commands require God's power. So when it comes to the Bible and preaching, there's, say it out loud, instruction, there's revelation, and number three, there is application. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. If there's no application, there's no Christianity. You know, nominal Catholics, nominal Muslims, nominal Christians, there's nothing cooking here. There's got to be application. You know, the Moravians back in the old days, they were hot. Hot, Count Zinzendorf and that bunch over there in Germany. And man, they were praying the fire of God down. Their goal was to have one out of every three families on the mission field. I'm telling you, something was percolating with that bunch. And you know, they had a practice. They had a practice that is, well, a sermon was given on Sunday, Lord's Day. If the leaders didn't feel like the congregation had actually implemented what was spoken about the Sunday before, they would preach the same identical sermon the next Sunday. And if they didn't feel like that there had been implementation, they would preach the same sermon the third Sunday. Now, Nathan, this would cut out on sermon preparation considerably right here, but there's no real use to move on to new information if we ain't enacting on what we already know. Y'all with me on this right here? I know a guy went to a church. He said they're so dull. He got up and preached and came back the next night and preached the same thing and nobody knew it. He preached the third night the same thing and nobody even knew it. Hey, listen up. Be doers of the word. The devil believes the Bible. He don't do anything about it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, listen, coming to church without leaving to act on it is deception. It's not enough just to put in time. It's not enough just to be faithful. It's not enough just to support. Your soul is meant to be a channel for the truth and not a sponge. The man who comes to church with no desire to obediently heed the word of God will not hear the word of God correctly. He's deceiving himself. Oh, God wants us on a mission with and for him. Now look in James 1:26. There's more here. No, look at this, 1:26. If any man among you seem to be, say that word out loud. Oh, I was over in Israel. You know, if John the Baptist cleared his throat, they have to build a shrine. Are you with me right here? And we went to an Orthodox church. This guy dressed up in black. He looked like Darth Vader. And I had this incense swing going on and smoke coming out of that thing. And I said to myself, man, if this is the end of religion, you can count me out. I don't want nothing to do with this stuff. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, get this, he deceives his own heart, his religion is vain. Seems to be religious, can't bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless. That's what he says. Look in verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God the Father is this, to do what? Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, keep himself unspotted from the world. The Bible's full of applications, here's three of them. Being doers of the word. Here's three applications to be a doer of the word, all right? Number one, bridling the tongue. I watched the news a little bit this afternoon, and guess what? The bridle came off my tongue as I was talking to the television set. The old Puritan said, he that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue. He that receives a slander carries the devil in his ear. Friends, the tongue's in a wet place, and it's easy for it to slip. Bridling the tongue. Ooh. Saying things, repeating things. Ooh. Sometimes not just the content, but the tone. Here's an application, bridling the tongue. Notice second, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Appreciate Brother Lynn, got a heart for these bus kids going after them. Some of y'all got assignments, you're doing assignments, child evangelism, praise God. Being doers of the word, and not hearers only. You know, the essence of the law of God is to love people and love the Lord and visit the fatherless. Do you know how many fatherless there are? Most, anymore, the orphaned, the hurting, the lonely, the brokenhearted, the addicted, the dying. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, you can't bear a burden you can't feel. And if our whole world is turned in like a washing machine with nothing going on outside of our own sphere of concern, if you're going to bear a burden, you got to feel it. If you're going to reach lost people, you got to have some heart for them, you know. And when you're in touch with heaven, you'll get strong promptings to minister to people. You'll get strong promptings to minister to people. But people who hear the word Sunday but do nothing Monday through Saturday are deceived. Is that what it says? Be ye doers of the, not hearers only, deceiving your own. So what did we do? What were we doing with what we heard yesterday? Last week? Be doers of the word. Act quickly, because if you don't, you'll forget. And faith without works is dead. Now, instruction that reaches no further than the mind is deception. I'm amazed that pastors in America are being taught by people who have never pastored anybody in their lives. Man, their heads are about 15 miles wide, but a little heart experience wouldn't be a bad thing. And be doers of the word. Peoples whose beliefs don't affect their behavior, the Bible says they're deceived. I think that's accurate to what the text is saying here. Now, visit the fatherless and widows. You know, if your theology doesn't lead you to love people, you need to question your theology. Because the reason God wants us to know things is that we might do things for kingdom purposes. A.T. Pearson said, the church is standing in the world bearing witness to Christ. The church is standing in the world bearing witness to Christ when it should be standing in Christ bearing witness to the world. Keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, listen, the Bible says in James 2, faith without works is, you know how many times it says that? Three times. Faith without works is, knowledge without obedience is, ritual without repentance is dead. Be doers of the word. I believe there's a salvation application. Now listen up. Saved people are not content to hear only. Saved people are certainly not perfect, but they practice truth. Yeah, they might have a relapse, but the grace of God will bring them back. And I believe the Bible is teaching here and other places that church people who are word hearing and non-doing are not God's people. Be doers of the, not hearers, deceiving your own self. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but man, if you're content with sinful imperfection, you need to question what's going on. Now, belief affects behavior. Do you believe that? I mean, heart belief affects behavior. It does. Everybody struggles against sin. Christians can slip into sin, but true conscience, Christians have enough conscience to where their sin bothers them. We're talking about life patterns. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. It's not enough to mark the Bible. The Bible's got to mark us. Not enough to mark the Bible. The Bible's got to mark us. Now, I believe there's a salvation application. Listen to what the Son of God said. How many know that not everything Jesus said was comforting and soothing? How many know that Jesus said some really hard things? Matthew 7, listen to this one. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. I will liken him to a wise man. Listen to this, who built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not because it was founded on the rock. That's the guy that's hearing the sayings of Jesus and doing them. Verse 26, but everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Winds came, rain descended, wind blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.